Doppelganger 4, Aleister Crowley. The British writer Aleister Crowley, Edward Alexander Crowley, was an ill-famed leader of occult secret societies and modern-day magic in the 20th century. He called himself Megatherion, the Great Beast 666 embodying the Antichrist, and at times alleged that Hitler was his magic child, an extension of Crowley's own psyche. The question of whether or not Aleister Crowley was a Nazi political decoy is thought-provoking. His approval of the German-Ottoman Central Powers during World War I became an embarrassment for Britain. Newspapers dubbed him the wickedest man in the world. Crowley was briefly a member of the Golden Dawn, a magical order supposedly derived from the Rosicrucian Brotherhood. He went to Trinity College, Cambridge, and claimed to be in the topmost levels of Freemasonry, an assertion denied by regular Freemasons. Idolized as a Satanist patriarch and Gnostic pope, Crowley purportedly once boasted, before Hitler was, "I am." Professor of History Richard B. Spence reported in his 2008 book Secret Agent 666, Aleister Crowley, British Intelligence and the Occult, that Crowley may have been an ongoing spy for British intelligence. Spence uncovered a 1918 West Point document, File 10012-112, from the U.S. Army's Military Intelligence Division, stating, Aleister Crowley was an employee of the British government, and disclosed that Crowley was an authorized New York City British consul agent in this country on official business. Near the end of World War I, Aleister Crowley maintained that he had the absolute confidence, years old, of a man high in the German Secret Service, and that he could go to Germany under an assumed identity and report on the conditions of the country as a spy for Britain. But when British intelligence bosses ultimately rejected his crackpot proposal, Crowley jotted down that he was compelled to go on playing a lone hand. That note raised the chilling prospect of Crowley, dubbed Alice in Jest, concocting a rogue spy network, like an Ian Fleming type of supervillain hostile to the government. The New York Times reported that Crowley burned his British passport, while standing in a small motorboat with Lila Waddell playing a violin, under the Statue of Liberty. The nonfiction book Do What Thou Wilt, 2000, by biographer Lawrence Sudin also indicated that Crowley was a possible spy. Crowley practiced wild drug and sex magic rites with both male and female fans from the privileged upper classes, in that way possessing them as his chums, open to blackmail payments for silence and the use of threats and moral pressure. Aleister Crowley's narcissist schemes on his crooked path of cavalier cronyism reached as far as the doorway of Charles Henry Maxwell Knight, the secret chief of British intelligence, MI5, who attended seances by the notorious Satanist. After a trance-like bond with Aleister Crowley, Maxwell Knight's first wife Gladys Poole reportedly committed suicide in 1934. Crowley's undercover job may have been to bring together intelligence and, as an agent provocateur, fabricate propaganda to crush loyalist confidence. BBC, Aleister Crowley, The Wickedest Man in the World, 2012. In The Confessions of Aleister Crowley, 1929, Crowley hinted that he was a double agent during World War I, a go-between of counter-espionage. Crowley wrote over-the-top anti-British stories for a pro-German journal called The Fatherland, published in America by George Sylvester Viereck. Crowley told Viereck in 1915 that he wanted to help Germany to exploit the stupidity of the British public. But later on he told others that he was actually doing harm to Germany by working upon the baser passions of the mob and wrecking the German propaganda machine. The disrepair of Germany was his apparent goal. Commonwealth chauvinists feared that a new intellectual resurgence triggered by the Germanic genius of Einstein, Freud, Jung, Planck, and other rising academics could harden the former Habsburg Empire to forget or replace the United Kingdom. It was necessary to persuade the Germans that arrogance and violence were sound policy, headstrong Crowley once bragged. For most of the law enforcement community, the writings of Aleister Crowley were mainly limited to the vocabulary of bigots, charlatans, fraudsters, and quacks, not taken very seriously until the unveiling of modern computer graphics. Digital face matching has lately uncovered a consistent range of biometric similarities between Crowley and the Nazi dictator. Was Hitler really Crowley? Vanguard News Network Forum. Highly detailed skin texture analysis is currently possible. With such analysis, any patch of skin called a skin print can be captured as an image, then broken up into smaller blocks that algorithms turn into mathematical, measurable spaces in which lines, pores, and the actual skin texture are recorded. Mark Williams, better face recognition software, computers outperform humans at recognizing faces in recent tests, Technology Review, May 30, 2007. A surface texture analysis of Crowley's skin print displaying the curves of his eye socket, nose, cheekbone, and jaw is, in effect, the same as the Nazi Führer's. But no two individuals have skin prints or wrinkles that are exactly alike. Accordingly, as far as detection systems go, the out-of-the-ordinary facial recognition analysis is like finding the conjurer's fingerprints on the dictator's hat. Because skin prints can identify the differences between identical twins, patterns of skin texture analysis are unique and have become significant factors for biometric crime scene investigation, CSI, and forensic science. Given that it only requires open software and freely accessible pictures, the skin print analysis mentioned in this report will most likely be replicated and confirmed by other sources. Out here in the fields, I fight for my meals. I get my back into my living. I don't need to fight to prove I'm right. I don't need to be forgiven. Don't cry. Don't raise your eye. It's only teenage wasteland. The Who, theme song from CSI, New York, Baba O'Reilly, 1971. If Scotland Yard's inspectors had face recognition technology in the 1940s, maybe they would have guessed that Aleister Crowley was perhaps the best Hitler stand-in money could buy. Was British intelligence interested in hiring a part-time Führer double? And if MI5 wondered about the real Adolf Hitler, wasn't he Aleister Crowley's magic child tied up at the moment, so to speak, unavailable, otherwise engaged? I never met someone so demonic as Herr Hitler, occultist Crowley made the fanciful declaration of guilt to his early biographer John Simons, The Medusa's Head, 1991. Why do you think I spend so much time with him? And come when he bids me. Where was Aleister Crowley, heir to an ale brewery fortune from the day of the failed beer hall putsch until the release of Adolf Hitler from Landsberg prison a year later? In 1923, given Prohibition gangland wars, Crowley was expelled from Sicily for acting out his mafia gut feelings in a Cefalù villa, the Abbey of Thelema. He dropped out of sight for many months of isolation to work on his autobiography, holed up in a Tunisian oasis by a dry, barren tract. He did not resurface again until 1924. As far as we know, Aleister Crowley died of a respiratory infection in a Hastings boarding house on December 1, 1947. Crowley's disciples broke into a countryside chapel and staged a last rite with unfettered baseness. Cremated ashes in a jar were said to be Crowley's last remains. An official coroner holding inquests on deaths was one of his hard-nosed cronies. Crowley's morphine-prescribing physician died within 24 hours. Did the Beast 666 pass away in 1947, or did Hitler's double go into hiding after the breakdown of Nazism? He once faked his death in 1930. Gershom Scholem, a top historian at the University of Jerusalem, wrote that Crowley passed in 1946. Was it a typographical error? Scholem categorized Aleister Crowley as an imposter of supreme charlatanism.